Praise God. Good morning, Times Square Church. Bless the Lord. If you could go to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to be speaking the fourth part in the series that I've been sharing in this church on finishing the race. I happen to believe that we're coming around the corner of time as it has been known, and the end is in sight. No man knows the day or the hour, as the scripture says, but we do know the season. We're living it. It is obvious that Christ is coming soon for his church. I want to talk to you this morning about the real Jesus of the last days. The real Jesus. As you see in the scriptures, there's going to be a lot of Jesuses presented to this generation. There's only one real one. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for the power to speak these words. I thank you for the unction, Lord, to make them live. They've got to live in us, Lord, or it's just another accumulation of knowledge that we will easily discard. Help us, Lord, to embrace these words, to keep them at the forefront of our mind and heart, especially in this day we're living in. Lord, give me the strength that I need to speak this, the clarity of mind, God, the anointing that can only come from heaven. Lord, there has to be a multiplication of your word to make it apply to every mind, every understanding, every situation. And so I trust you to do that today, Lord. Thank you that in all things, Jesus Christ, you will be lifted up and glorified alone. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. The real Jesus of the last days. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 23. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. False Christs, false prophets, great signs and wonders. Remember these words that Jesus spoke. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, this text tells us that in the last days, in the last of the last days, both calamity on the earth and religious deception will reach epic proportions. There will be famines, there will be pestilences, there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, there will be even signs in the heavens. All of these things will begin to increase along with a religious deception aimed at the professing church of Jesus Christ. Now, Satan has no need to deceive those who already belong to him. The deception is going to be aimed at the church, the professing church of Jesus Christ. The casual believer, the sincere believer, those who attend church every week and those who attend only casually, there's a deception coming. And it's already here, but it's going to intensify in the coming days. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the final and ultimate act of mankind's rebellion against God will be when a satanically indwelt man sits in the temple in Jerusalem. The temple will be rebuilt. Most likely you and I will live to see this. This satanically indwelt man will sit in the temple. He's known as the Antichrist. And he will declare himself to be God. That's the ultimate act of mankind's rebellion against God. That's where it all began. And remember, Satan came into the Garden of Eden and he told Adam and Eve, his own philosophy, his own theology as it is, that God is not the only one that has the words of life. He's not the only one that knows right and wrong. If you partake of what I'm setting before you, your eyes will be opened. You can join me. And together we'll be as God. And we will know good and evil. We will be the ones. And what a mess that has brought into the world. As humankind is constantly looking for and declaring and redeclaring that which is right and that which is wrong. Do you notice man left to himself what was wrong a year ago is right today? And what's right today will be wrong next year? And it's always good becomes evil and evil becomes good. Set your watch by it, folks. That's the way it works. When any society falls away from God, that which we knew was evil becomes good. That which we knew was good becomes evil. This time of rebellion is going to be preceded by a falling away, Paul said, of many who had most likely professed or at least had some inclination towards being followers of Jesus Christ. I call it the finish line of a race of deception. The final end of humankind, having embraced the lie that man needs no redemption. He can be just as God is, declaring things to be what he wants them to be, chart his own course, finish his own race, and enter into his own imagined glory, which is called hell. His own glory. What a foolish thing humankind is without God. John chapter 6, please, if you go there with me very quickly in your Bibles. I'm going to talk to you about the falling away in our generation, I believe, will look very much like it did in these pages of Scripture. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Now keep in mind, these verses of Scripture come before Christ going to the cross. Society of their day turning into a Jesus madness, as it is. A madness against everything of God, against that which represents God, against actually God himself. Now, these people are about to go into this. They're not aware of it. But Christ is aware of it. Just like you and I in our generation today. I hate to have to even say these words, but it seems to me that there's a revulsion against the things of God that is seemingly on the increase almost by the hour in our society, in our world today. Now, Jesus says to these people, verse 53, then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, what he's telling them is that you don't have in yourselves what it takes to get through. You need forgiveness. And you need to become wholehearted partakers of the life of God that's being made available to you. Christ is saying, through the giving of my body. My body is going to be given for you, and through the sacrifice that is going to be, there's going to be life given to you. And you're not going to be able to get through without, you have to become a full partaker of that life. There's no half measure of Christianity is going to get through the days ahead of us, folks. And I say it as a shepherd, I say it as a pastor, I say it as a man who, I've got something so burning so deep within me that the half-hearted are not going to make it. You're going to turn to a false Christ in this last hour of time. And Jesus is saying, you have to consume me. You have to trust me for your redemption. You have to get into the promises of God that are provided for you. And you've got to literally eat this book. It's got to become part of your mind and your thinking, not just your library. Not just an accumulation of knowledge, but it's got to be knowledge that has transformed you because you and I have embraced it as the ultimate truth in our lives. We won't make it otherwise. I don't care how devout you think you are or how strong you are in your natural mind or body. There's a day of darkness coming and deception that nobody apart from the Christ within us will be able to get us through this. Whoso eats my flesh, verse 54, and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. In other words, the life that you will have will not be your own. The strength will not be your own. The direction will not be your own. The vision to get through will not be your own. I will give you these things. That's what the Lord is saying to us. But we have to be involved not only in the fullness of his redemption, but the fullness of his redemptive work on the earth. We can't be just casually coming to the things of God. We have to be given to the work of God. And that's always the meeting of human need, the reaching out to those that are lost to tell them that there is a God in heaven who loves them. And to be an extended hand of that kindness of God given to us through Jesus Christ. Verse 58 says, "This is bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever." And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Because you're talking about total surrender here. You're talking about total consumption. You're talking about a total giving of oneself. You're talking about our lives not being our own anymore, but belonging to you, being bought as it is with a price. You're talking about another life goal, another objective to take on the work or the objectives of God and let that flow through us in this world. This is a hard saying. When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? Are you offended because I'm asking you to be my church on the earth? Are you offended because I'm telling you that you don't have the natural strength to get through this? And religion will not give you the strength that you need. It has to be a living relationship with God that is manifested in a love of God and a love of your fellow man here on this earth. Does this offend you?" He said in verse 62, "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before?" In other words, you might be offended by this, but will it make a difference if you see me raised from the dead? Will it make a difference if you see that what I'm asking you to do and what I'm promising you is also given to me of the Father, that you will see with your eyes a dead man raised after 3 days? Will it make a difference? Will you then understand that it is not a casual encounter or relationship with Christ? Folks, you know what makes this so profound is these people had Jesus speaking to them. Now, I'm speaking on his behalf. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is animating the words of my heart and of the text today. But they had the actual physical Son of God, who John says was in the beginning with God, who created all things and was God. They had him actually standing in physical form. They are supposed to be disciples of his. They're supposed to be, these are the sincere, as it seems, in this generation. Now he's asking them for a complete and total commitment to the cause of God that they're about to see unfolded through his life. Now, many people had come to him, and there are some who could say, "Well, listen, I didn't come for this. I came because, you know, I was wounded in the past and I want healing. And I came because I'm hungry and I see you can multiply bread. I came because I thought we were going to rule and reign. I thought we were going to overthrow the Roman Empire." And that's the way it was told me, at least by the person who told me who you were. "I thought I was going to prosper. And now you're asking me for a full-hearted commitment in this time that we're living in now." He said in verse 63, "It's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life." I'm telling you, he said, what I'm telling you is going to give you life. It's going to carry you. It's going to sustain you. It's going to keep you through the difficult days. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I think it's going to look very much like that in our generation. When the truth of Christ is proclaimed and people say, "Well, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be a declaration of God's life in the midst of a hostile environment and generation. I came to Christ because I thought it was going to better my life. And now you're intimating at least that the path that you're on, I'm going to be on. The way the world feels about you, they're going to feel about me. The things they say about you, they're going to say about me. And suddenly it's not very attractive anymore. Suddenly it puts everything in its right perspective." He's asking for a commitment that will actually take them to the cross. And yet many looked and they said, "No, we didn't come for this." Now, the scripture doesn't say that they abandoned religion, just that they abandoned Jesus Christ. These folks stayed in religion. They went back to the forms of religiousness they knew. They might even been more zealous than they were before. But all of it was powerless. They had just been confronted by the mouth of the Christ who created the universe. And they went back. They went back to powerless singing, powerless reading, powerless praying, because they had been confronted with what the life of those who follow Christ is supposed to look like. It's a total giving to the work of God, whatever that work is for each individual believer. Paul says in the last days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, one of the things that will be symptomatic of the society of those days is that people will have a form of godliness but deny the power. I think there'll be the rise of religion everywhere. I think there'll be a feel-good religion that rises. Folks, if you thought you'd seen ecumenicism in the past, you've not seen anything yet of what's going to rise. The feel-good religion is going to become the religion of the day. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, we're all in this together, and we're going to save the earth somehow together. But they close the door of their hearts to where the real life and power of God is. They close the door. They have a form, but they really are a denial of what the gospel is all about, of the power of God that transforms people from being selfish to selfless, from being self-focused to other-focused. It's a transformed life. John said in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now John, the writer, John the beloved, John who leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper, at the Last Supper, believed that they were in the last days. And of course we are actually since the day of Pentecost. The Antichrist is a substitutionary Christ who stands in opposition, that's by definition, to who Jesus Christ really is. Now, we see this in the book of Exodus. The people wanted to turn back to what they left behind and were delivered from. But in order to do this, they had to create a substitutionary image of God. This is a God who would let them pursue their own desires, seemingly with the same blessing and power in their minds that they had once known. Folks, this is the grave danger of our generation. Paul exhorted the Corinthian church. He said, be careful. Be careful, be careful who you're following. Be careful what you're believing. Be careful what you're reading. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, as Paul said, if you're not careful, if somebody preaches another Christ, you might very well end up agreeing with it. If I can challenge you as the pastor of this church to do anything, you don't have to believe a word I say. You get in this book and you read it for yourself. You study this thing. You study this book inside out. If you're a new believer, you start in the book of Matthew and you read through to the end and go back to Matthew and read to the end and back to Matthew and read to the end until this word is inside of you, until you know you can stand up and say, I know who Jesus is. I know who I have believed. Paul could say that. I know who I have believed. I know. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many people plead for me to stay in a certain place or to do a certain thing or to not be so extreme or to not go so far or to not follow so sincerely. Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that everything I've placed in his hand, he's going to bring it right through to the end. I believe it with all my heart. The end time strategy of Satan is clear. It's to divert those who are trying to find refuge in calamitous times by presenting a myriad of false Christ options along the way. Many people are going to be trying to find refuge in the kingdom of God. Many who have sat casually in the kingdom of God. Many have just hung on the exterior of the kingdom of God. Some who have been marginally sincere in the kingdom of God are going to start rushing in, looking as it is for the ark of safety. And there'll be signs everywhere. Jesus this way. Jesus is this way. Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. You ask me then, how can I be sure that I'm following the real Jesus? Well, Jesus said these words in Matthew 24:26. If they say to you, behold, he's over in the desert, don't go there. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. You see, the devil is not omnipresent. Omnipresent means everywhere, all the time. Jesus is the only one who's omnipresent. You don't have to go anywhere to find him. He is right where you are. Hallelujah. If they tell you he's in North Carolina, he's down in Florida, he's over in Canada, he's off in England, save yourself the plane ticket. He's on the subway with you. Hallelujah. As you and I follow him in his work on earth, he promises to be our strength and our guide. Let me read to you these words. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? You bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked, you cover him, and you do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, he says, your light will break forth as the morning. Remember, he said, as lightning comes from the east unto the west, that's how the Son of Man comes. Sudden light. Your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he'll say, here I am. If you take away the midst of you, the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and empty talk, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity, and even your darkness will be like the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. And when we are found doing his work, when we are found doing his work, all we have to do is say, Jesus, where are you? And you'll say, I'm right here. I've never gone anywhere. I've been where I always am. I'm everywhere. You can't push me out of any room. Jesus can't be pushed out of any place, no matter how dark or dank or hard or difficult your situation is. When you're in your office, he is there. When you're at home, he's there. When you're on the subway, he's there. When you're on the street, he's there. He's everywhere you are. He's as close as the mention of his name. When you call out to him in times of fear and confusion, he will respond with fierceness and power and scatter your enemies. David said in Psalm 18, you remember, David said, darkness was all around. I was afraid on every side. Enemies seemed to be everywhere. I was in danger of being overwhelmed. And of course, he's speaking about the fear of the moment. Society seemed to be completely against the anointing of God that was upon his life. He's being pursued, as he said, like a partridge in the mountains. A man who knew that the touch of God had been on his life. But he said, when I cried to you, you heard me. Now, he wasn't in a temple when he cried. He wasn't in a church service. He was in a cave. And he said, when I cried to you, you heard me. And he said, not only did you hear me, but you stood up and you were wroth and smoke went out of your nostrils. Now, that's a vivid picture. David saw this. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this has to be an accurate portrayal when the devil starts messing around with a true child of God. He rode on the wings of the wind, and he said, yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Remember what Jesus said, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In our darkest times, he will bring light. When our enemies seem to be triumphing over us, he will scatter them. And then lastly, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, I will come for you soon and suddenly. Soon and suddenly, Christ is coming for his church. Folks, don't give up now. Don't quit the race now. Don't look for another Jesus now. We've come too far by faith. You've heard so many messages about how difficult it's going to be. And I don't know if we can, any of us can adequately describe it. There'll even be a season, according to Paul, where they say peace in the Middle East and safety. Maybe this upheaval that's happening will take a turn for the good. Maybe it will look like peace is finally coming to the earth. But it says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Sudden, out of not seen, not prepared for. Prophet Isaiah says in 1 hour, everything changes. Everything changes in an hour. And folks, we're living in that kind of a time. But for you and I, it's not an hour in which everything will change. It'll be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be working in the field. I had a dream about this one time. Now, it's only a dream. That's all it was. But I was working in the field with my wife, Teresa, and another person we knew. And suddenly, we were just out with rakes and hoes, and we're out in the field. And suddenly, we started lifting from the earth. And we were going up into the air. And I remember this other lady who was a friend of ours was saying, "It's the rapture. It's the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the church." And I looked over at my wife, her hands and feet were going in the air, and she was shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And me, being ever the realist, I looked down, I said, "I sure hope you're both right. Because if you're not right, we're in real trouble, because at this point we're about 300-400 feet up in the air. It's going to happen one day, soon and suddenly, soon and suddenly. The Lord Jesus is going to come with a trumpet and a shout. The Father's going to lean over to the Son. And time, I guess, as we know it, is going to be very close to an end. And He's going to say, "Son, go get your bride." Just like a man who just has loved this girl for so long and has been betrothed and just can't wait. And think, on his case, it's been over 2,000 years. And he just said, "Go get your bride. The ones that have already died, the ones that are still alive." And the scripture says he comes with a shout, "Hallelujah to the Lamb of God," like lightning from the powerfully, quickly. That's why you don't have to go to the desert. You don't have to go to the closet. Don't believe anybody that says, because he says, "No, when I come for you, everybody's going to know it. The whole world is going to know it when I come for you. It's going to be like lightning from the east to the west. Nobody's going to miss this. Nobody's going to be left out. The dead are going to raise first out of the ground, and we who are alive and remain will be gathered together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And the scripture says he comes with a shout. I love that. "My church, my bride," hallelujah. I think in that shout, every name that's ever been given to him is named. It's a compilation of your name and my name. Everyone has ever trusted, everyone who's not given up, everyone who's been partakers of the sacrifice that he made on the cross that we might have life. Everyone who's trusted him for life and strength and breath and against every enemy and to be able to go through all opposition and to be a testimony of Christ no matter how dark it gets in the world. Everyone who's believed that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everyone who's embraced in their heart that no weapon formed against me can prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I have a righteousness that's not my own. It was given to me of God. I have a covering that's not my own. I have a future that's not my own. I have a pathway that's not my own. I have a life that's not my own. It belongs to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't have a dowry. As part of the bride of Jesus Christ, you and I have nothing we can bring to him. But what I do have is a heart that's filled with his word, a heart that's longing for his coming, a heart that's longing to see his work done in the earth, a heart that's longing to see prison doors open, to see blinded eyes seeing again, to see deafened ears hearing, to see those that are wounded in heart healed by the power of God. I have a heart. That's what I bring to him. And that's what he's coming for. And that's what the shout is all about. "I'll come for you soon and suddenly." So when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, no matter what you're in today or going to go through tomorrow, remember that Jesus is coming for you. This life is only a vapor. James said, it's just here for a moment. It passes away. And 100,000,000,000,000 years from now, you'll be so thankful you didn't give up the race. You'll be so thankful that you didn't divert into some pit stop somewhere or succumb to some voice offering a more comfortable religion. You'll be thanking God for eternity that you stayed running with those that have run this race for 2,000 years. You didn't give up. And folks, we're going to have to encourage one another as we come around the corner, because a lot of us are not professional runners, and we're going to have to encourage one another. We're just going to have to. I heard one time that geese, when they're flying south or north, whichever way they go, depending on the time of the year, they honk at each other to keep each other moving. Did you know that? Well, that's according to a study I did. They said that was one of the reasons. Did you saw that? Yeah, that's right. Okay. So we're going to have to honk at each other. I'm not talking about when you get your car out on 51st and stuff. But you're going to have to just say, come on now, get up and keep running. When somebody falls, we're going to have to take him. We're going to have to hold him. Folks, we're going to get across this finish line. We're going to do it together as the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to do it together. We're going to walk this walk together as the church of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to give up on the work of God. To see those that have no helper, to see them, the help of God through His church brought to them, whatever form that's going to take. Revelation 3 is my last scripture, please, if you'll turn there. Revelation 3. The church of Philadelphia. Beginning of verse 7, he says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. You've kept my word and you've not denied my name. I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. I'll make them to come and worship before your feet, to know that I have loved you. He's talking to his church about all of those who have professed to know him, but it's not been in truth. The reason they'll come and worship, because there'll be such an incredible strength, is not to worship you. He's not saying this to his church, but to worship before your feet. In other words, to say, tell me, where have you found this strength? How did you get this strength to get through this time? Because you've kept the word of my patience, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let nobody take your crown, because you're already on track for victory. You're already on track to be more than a conqueror. You're already on track to finish the race and to do it lawfully, to do it rightfully, to do it God's way. And at the end of that race, there's a crown. Paul talked about it, a crown of righteousness laid up for all of those that love God and have gone on in the work of God and have not given up when opposition faced you. And this is my altar call this morning. Hold fast, that no man take thy crown. I want to give an altar call for those who are in danger of giving up. And you came here this morning, and a despair was in your soul. And you said, God, if I don't hear from you, I don't know if I can go on. Where am I going to find the strength to face tomorrow? Let alone the pastors of this church are talking about more difficult times coming. Well, if they're any more difficult than what I'm facing today, where will I find the strength to go on? How will I ever get through? How will I ever manage in the days to come? This altar call is for you. That you can simply come forward to the front of this sanctuary or between the screens in the annex and be encouraged. Simply be encouraged. Now, if you've reached out and laid hold of things you shouldn't have, if you are involved in practices you shouldn't be, if you're looking for comfort in places that only captivate, You need to lay these things down. And you need to trust God for the power to do that today. Lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. And let Jesus Christ give you the strength to be His church on the earth. I speak specifically to those who feel like giving up. I'm going to ask for honesty today. As you make that effort to get out of your seat and come forward, I believe that God is going to meet you. I believe that as we worship, He's going to give you strength. He's going to help you. Let's stand to our feet, please. And for those that this is speaking to, just step out, please, in the balcony. You can go to either exit. The main sanctuary, just slip out wherever you are. Make your way to the front of the sanctuary, please, if you will. And we're going to pray for you. Our prayer today as an entire church body is going to be for you, because we're not leaving you behind. Nobody is going to be left behind who wants to walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an eye-opener to us, church, that we're not in this alone. There's other people in this with us, and some are losing heart. And we always have to be aware of that. It's so important that we speak kindly to each other. We become a strength to those that are weary. A good word, the scripture says, spoken in season, how good it is. Let's believe God to give each other strength. One of the things that we need to understand in our time is the spiritual authority that's given to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said these words, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, everything that tries to take away that victory of Christ. And Jesus said, "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, you and I are going to take that position today. We're going to stand just like Moses stood before Pharaoh on behalf of these people that are at this altar. The rest of the church, we're going to pray. Moses stood on behalf of the nation. And Pharaoh said, was trying to make a deal. Okay, right, you and a few others go and leave the weak and leave the old and leave the young. And Moses could stand before Pharaoh and say, no deal whatsoever. We all go. Our young go, our old go. We all go. We have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to start to pray for one another and pray that God give that word of encouragement to those that need it today, because you and I may need it tomorrow. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands now, if you will, towards these that are at the front of the sanctuary, and lift your voice now. And we're going to ask God for great grace and great strength. Father, we come before you as the body of Jesus Christ. In Times Square Church, Lord, to lift up these that have gathered at this altar and have gathered in the education annex and stood up, and they're in danger of being overcome by their situation. Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority over Satan in your name. We take authority over the works of darkness, over all the lies of the devil, every work of discouragement, everything that tries to take away the completeness of the cross, every captivity that declares it will never let go. We take authority over these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, you are the God who gives strength. You give strength to those that have no might. You increase our strength, God. Your word says you give us wings like eagles to rise up and to begin to fly over all of these circumstances, to climb all of these mountains, to leap over all of these walls. Everything of hell, everything that the enemy sends against us, we have the power in our Christ to stand against it and to stand victorious over it. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're going to bring these through. Every last one at this altar is going to make it through, Father. We stand on their behalf. We stand and pray for those who don't even have a voice to pray for themselves. We thank you, God, for victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for victory. Thank you for victory. Thank you for the 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 victory. We proclaim that victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every prison door you have to open. Every besetting sin you have to let go. Every blinding thing, you have to let their eyes be open. My God, give strength to your people. Give strength to your church. Give strength, oh God, give strength. Let us mount up and run. Let us run, oh God, this race set before us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's all in Jesus. Our strength is in Jesus. Our victory is won. The battle is over. It's finished. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We proclaim here this day that nobody at this altar, nobody in the annex who stood today, nobody's going under. Nobody. You have a living Christ. You have a living Christ. You have a living Christ at the right hand of Almighty God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're not going down, you're going up. Hallelujah. Look at me. You're not going down. You're going up. You're going up. You're going up. You're going up. Any day now, you're going up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not leaving you behind. I'm not leaving you behind. We're not leaving you behind. We're going together. We're finishing this race together. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You're going to make it, man. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You don't listen to the lies of the devil anymore. Don't listen to that voice anymore. You have someone inside of you who's stronger than anything that hell can ever throw against you. He is stronger. He is stronger. Sin is broken. We have the victory in Jesus. Give Him a shout of praise in this house. Hallelujah! 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 We win! We win! Praise God, we win! Thank God! Thank God! Thank God! Let's praise Him!